But I love the underdog. I love the Chicago Bears.
You definitely should probably have pursued a different...
I know. I'm a sucker for the underdog. And I have never won as the underdog.
Well, right. Of course, you're a Bears fan.
We almost won in 95. Or no, 2005. When we played the... Was it the Giants? Or the Colts?
Pre-Jay Cutler?
No, it was Jay Cutler. Oh, it might have been. It might have been, Sexy Rexy.
Rex Grossman.
Grossman.
Yeah.
Poor guy Grossman. Oh, I'm bumping this. This is Doomsday Murder Cult.
Yeah, welcome back.
It's been so long.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking brandy out of my beer cup.
You got to do what you got to do.
I only brought a six pack, and we've had it. Were you? You should have told me to buy 12 bottles.
Well, I think we're both learning how to podcast. I could have told you that six beers was not enough.
Mm-hmm. There should be 9 beer packs.
Yeah, I feel like 9 would have been perfect.
I know,
but We had 3 beers apiece. Eric's got a little brandy laying around the house. Mm-hmm. We're gonna make this thing happen.
What kind of brandy is this?
This is the E&J XO, which if they want to sponsor the show and give me, you know what? I'd even take discounts on brandy. They don't even have to give me brandy.
That I love that brandy's your favorite liquor.
Oh man,
it's bizarre.
I don't know
anybody else who loves brandy.
Well, they're all wrong. Everybody you know is wrong.
I'm good. Oh, boy. I just smelled the brandy in this cup, and I'm like, good morning.
But you drink.
Good morning.
You drink whiskey.
I do. Right? Yeah. And I know. And I will tell you, though, that I was at the Livery with my friend Kristen, who was here from out of town, L.A., and we went to the Livery.
I have friends in L.A. too.
Oh, yeah?
So, hi, Sean.
Oh, he lives in L.A.?
Yeah.
I bet they know each other.
Probably. Is she also a scientist at USC?
Oh, this is the guy that used to work for the bike shop.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a genius.
Right.
No, I actually don't know what she's doing right now. She used to work at a kids' TV network that I used to write for on occasion.
I want to see your work for that.
Shushy bye. Davy Jones recorded his last song for TV show Shushy Bye.
For Shushy Bye.
Yeah.
His parting gift to the world.
Shushy bye. It was a show to make kids go to sleep.
Well, at least it was for a good cause.
Yes. I never understood before I had kids how that is a crucial part of the process is getting them to go to bed.
Well, you know, last week we talked about Sam Jackson.
Yes.
And he did that thing. What's that book called? Go the Fuck to Sleep.
Yeah. And they, of course, when that came out, several people sent me links. Nobody bought it for me. But they also had sent me links to anytime there's a funny twins thing, because I have twins. Do you remember when there was these little twins that were talking to each other in their diapers, and it was rather cute?
Like, bop, bop, is this bop, like a bop. Like an internet thing? Of
yeah.
Kids? No.
Are you still drinking your beer?
Yeah, I still
nice.
There's some this. I got my rubber nipple strapped onto it.
Tight.
And I'm just sucking away.
So, okay. This brandy's all right. I'm good with it. But what I was going to tell you about the whiskey, here's why I like whiskey. You've got whiskey.
See, this is how we're going to be, how I know we're going to be good at podcasting, is like you started telling a story that we went off on a tangent, and here you are, mm-hmm. tying it back together. I like it.
Ah.
I'm like goddamn professionals.
Now, I will tell you, this says extra smooth. So is X and O for hugs and kisses?
Probably.
Hugs and kisses, extra smooth. Limited release.
Listen, when I have a bottle of E&J XO,
mm-hmm.
that eliminates my need for hugs and kisses from another human being. I don't need people when I have brandy.
That could be a problem.
It's only a problem if you let it become one. And so problems are a matter of perspective.
Problems are, that's spoken like somebody with a problem. I love that. Problems are a matter of perspective. Okay, so the
whiskey thing.
That should
be our first t-shirt.
It should. We're going to go down to that place on Water Street.
Yeah.
And make shirts. Ambient Inks. They made the campaign shirts for me.
Yeah? Do you recommend their work?
Yeah, here's what t-shirt, it's tricky with t-shirts because unisex t-shirts are bullshit because those are men's sizes for, and then women have to wear them. And so they're like tight in the hips and tight in the chest and then really baggy in the stomach.
And that's definitely not what we want.
No, and that's not what you guys want.
No, that's what I'm saying.
This is a patriarchal society. So why don't you guys readjust how unisex shirt sizing goes? Because that would benefit you visually.
Well, I say let's get rid of the idea of unisex t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know.
Why do they even exist?
They shouldn't.
Because had them and it was like that GILDAN brand. So then I bought a like Bella or some brand like that that they also have. And that shirt fit great because it was meant for my gender.
Yeah, where it like has hips and boobs.
Right.
You know. Which is what we all, I mean, that's, I mean.
That's baby making right there.
Yeah. Like, listen, that's what we are genetically predisposed and culturally conditioned to find attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I like hips and boobs.
Is that your thing, though?
What?
What is your thing?
I mean.
You can say.
I mean, like, am I like a boob man or an ass man? Is that what you're saying?
Or legs or?
Oh, I'm like 100%. I'm a boob man.
You are?
Yeah, totally, 100%.
Oh, so that's why you're so sad I have this jacket on.
That's what I've been saying this whole time.
It's only I don't have my mittens on right now because I'm trying to drink this brandy, but it's cold in the murder dungeon.
I think a little more brandy and it'll warm you up from the inside out.
Oh,
that's my hope. Is it too forward to say that that's what I'm hoping for?
No.
Okay.
I almost feel like we could call this the doomsday dungeon that we are.
This is a very appropriate room to record this particular show in.
Yeah,
once we have a Facebook page, we'll post some pictures.
I will make one, like, not tonight because I have to talk about stuff with people. But tomorrow, before 2:30, when I go get my kids from school, I will totally make one.
Okay.
And we are having photos taken, but the guy who's taking our photos has to photograph Sundance again.
Oh, right. The Doomsday Murder Cult photos.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I think, well, I mean, that's fine. Like, it's fine. He goes off and does his Sundance thing and whatever.
And he's like, took photos for Diesel and I think like American Eagle or. So he's going to take our photos, this guy.
So it just seems like, I was gonna say something self-deprecating, but here's what I'll say instead, is his art will elevate our art.
Yeah. And he was totally in to do it.
Good.
Max.
I like it.
Okay.
So. So do we want to?
You want to talk about something?
We could talk about some things. What do you want to talk about? Maybe I should go first this time.
Yeah, you said you're ill-prepared.
Yeah. Now, what I said was I took inadequate notes. I know the topic really thoroughly. Like, I really, like, dove into this. This is the one. I shouldn't talk about my failures on the air, should I? This is the one where I mentioned we were talking off the air of a while back, and I was really trying to get a first-hand quote. That brandy's really treating you good.
That's going to happen. Yeah. It's okay.
So, So I was trying to get a quote from a guy.
Yeah.
I didn't get my quote, but that doesn't mean this story isn't amazing.
Did you find the guy?
Well, let's start at the beginning.
It's a very good place to start.
So,
excuse me.
Christians and Jews are both waiting for an apocalyptic event. Oh, first of all, we're all fucked. Right?
And I'm half Christian and half Jew.
Right. So you're really
So I'm waiting for two different things.
Right. You're waiting for the second coming of Jesus and the first coming of Jesus. Well, I mean, of course, Jews, I mean, don't think Jesus is or was the Messiah. So they're waiting for the Messiah, the Savior, the, you know, and they just think Jesus was, you know, like this dude
who
was like a bro and, you know, had like good lessons to teach everybody, but like not like the Son of God.
Right. It's not like David Koresh.
Right. I mean, I think we can all recognize when somebody really is truly the Son of God. And we will probably talk about David Koresh at some point.
Oh, I know that's like one of those obvious doomsday cult things, but we've got to talk about it at some point.
Well, I did a thing on Insincere Bullshit, my other show, my less good show. And we will definitely have that conversation on this show because I think this is a much more appropriate place.
Did your co-hosts know anything about it?
No.
They're probably too young.
Much too young. And so that happened like when we were like teenagers?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that? I don't want to date us.
I mean, don't you remember watching the TV and there was just like smoke coming out of the compound?
I remember watching it like live on TV.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So... yeah, we'll talk about that in its own separate episode.
Good. All right.
I probably know more about that than anybody ever should.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, I love this stuff. I can't get enough of it. To both Christians and Jews and Muslims, there's a place called Temple Mount. Well, I think Jews know it as Temple Mount. I forget what Christians know it as or what Muslims know it as, but it's in Jerusalem. It's where the Muslim, the mosque, I don't know if it's actually a mosque. It's a holy site and it's called Dome of the Rock. I think it's a mosque. This is where my note taking would have paid off.
Were you doing? Were you at work when you were doing this?
I'm not going to confirm or deny that. But it was the site of two previous Jewish temples.
Hmm.
There was the one that was the first one, which was King Solomon's, which is written about in the Bible, and the Torah, you know, in the Old Testament.
Right.
All the important places. And that was destroyed in 586 BCE by the Babylonians.
BCE?
Yeah, I'm using the PC terms.
What's...
Before Common Era.
Oh.
That's the term that they use in academia now instead of BC, which was before Christ.
I have never heard that, but I got a C in world religions.
Oh, okay. Well, good thing I don't have any fancy book learning. Yeah, so that's how I'm always going to refer to, I will always refer to it as Common Era and Before Common Era.
Wow, okay.
And so so the second temple, Herod's temple, was destroyed by the Romans in 70 CE. So the year 70.
Mm-hmm.
And the Muslims have owned the site. You know, they have had claim to the site since the 600s.
Mm.
You know, so... and that's,
so 70 to 600.
Yeah, so far as I'm aware, like, from 70 to 600, like, it was either contested or, you know, like, nothing was built there. Like,
okay.
No, like, holy building, or if they were, they were not of as big a significance and... were probably torched.
Torched. Did they even have fire then?
in the year in the 70 year and beyond, 70. I'm fairly sure yeah. fire was...
But no toilets.
Fire had been harnessed. Indoor plumbing, not so much.
Yeah, that was a rough time to be around.
I don't know. Like the Romans had some rudimentary plumbing. And I don't know when that came in the timeline.
Hmm.
You know, but they had, like, the big aqueducts, and, like, they had, like, water, like, running water in their home. Now, the way that they went to the bathroom is totally fucked up by modern standards. You know, they would have just, like, these huge communal things, and they would yes. just, like, hang their ass off of, like, the edge of a pit. You know? And it was, like, you know, there was, like, no sense of shame about, like, you know, taking a big steaming two next to your buddy.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you go to the bathroom with your wife?
I don't see why not. That seems, like, really weird, but... I mean, it seems weird to us.
Yeah.
You know, but they didn't have the same hang-ups, apparently, about bodily functions that we do. So, I'm all for the hang-ups. Like, I'm totally cool continuing those.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Just for the record, I don't want anybody thinking I'm into anything weird, so.
I bet you are.
I just happen to know how Romans.
Yeah, I bet you're into some weird stuff, though. Anyway.
So, there's an organization called the Temple something. it's called the Temple Institute.
The Temple Institute.
Yep.
Tom Cruise is a founder.
I can neither confirm nor deny that. So, wait, why Tom Cruise?
He's into weird stuff.
Okay.
He's ageless, so I think he's been around forever.
He's been around. Although I don't know how long the Temple Institute's been around. It's more of a modern kind of thing.
Okay.
And so, Rabbi Chaim Richman is the head of the Temple Institute, and their goal is the institution of the third temple, which has to be on this particular site. Following along?
Yeah, that could be rough these days.
Yeah, because, there are some people who have said that... Now, okay, there's two theories about how the temple is going to come about, like how it'll be built, erected, so to speak. I saw you thinking about it. Either the Dome of the Rock will be demolished by human hands, and the new temple will be built by human hands, or the Messiah, upon his arrival/return. Will bring the temple with him and basically eliminate the Dome of the Rock as the new temple comes down and smashes the fuck out of everything Muslim.
When you drink this brandy, do you just drink it straight up? Do you add a little water?
Sometimes I'll put an ice cube in it, or that's what they call it, on the rocks.
Term, on the rocks.
I'm sure you have. sometimes I make an old-fashioned. I like a brandy old-fashioned because I'm from Wisconsin. That's the way we do it here.
Okay. Quick. How do you make one with brandy?
Okay. So take either, depending on what you have laying around your house. Right now I have simple syrup. You could use a sugar cube. Or
pinto beans?
Sugar. tough to do it with pinto beans, but we could probably make it happen. I mean, we could get fucked up on brandy and pinto beans. So, sugar, bitters, brandy, and depending on how you like your old fashioned, I'll have an orange where I'll take an orange slice and a cherry and muddle it up in the bottom, pour in your brandy, and either have it sweet or sour. Mm-hmm. Sweet would be like with 7-Up. Sour would be like with a sour mix and some soda water, perhaps.
Do you like your sweet or sour?
Generally sweet.
I like mine sweet.
Yeah. I don't have any 7-Up here, so sorry. You could probably do with Sprite or Sierra Mist. I don't want to necessarily alienate any potential sponsors.
You're so worried about these sponsors?
Nobody's sponsoring the show.
As I sit here in my mittens.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is their...
Okay.
I'm following you.
So either dudes are going to do it or God's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so... There,
that's how anything goes.
Yeah, right. Right. So... So part of the problem that... Well, part of the problem that Christians have with the Dome of the Rock, apparently, is there's an inscription on it that explicitly says that God can't have a son. Like, apparently that's like the rift, or one of the rifts between Christianity and Islam. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal, I guess.
Yeah.
So, now, the one thing that everybody can agree upon is that to make the Third Temple happen...
Mm-hmm.
The one key ingredient has to be present. Okay. And I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to bring up one of my favorite websites. And this is going to probably reveal a lot about me. This is
YouTube, eBay.
I like both of those.
Yahoo.
I don't really read a lot of Yahoo.
No. I heard somebody one day interviewed and one of their credits was working for Yahoo News. And I was like, oh.
I've worked for Yahoo News.
Don't brag about that.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, that's why I said it quietly.
You have not.
I have. Wait, why is this a surprise?
You've worked for Yahoo News?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're learning all sorts of new things about me. Including that one of my favorite websites is a site called theskepticsannotatedbible.com. Or it's actually just www.skepticsannotatedbible.com.
Yes, this sounds like something you would like.
Yep. and it's you know what? If you're interested in something called Skeptics Annotated Bible, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. Just go there and check it out. If you... don't think that's your thing, definitely don't go there.
Because it'll make you mad?
But that's where it has definitely a potential for making... Like, if you really believe in the Bible as literal fact, it's going to make you mad. Mm. So in the Book of Numbers, and this is... So I just wanted to kind of... just say up front what my source is. And I can't remember exactly. Somewhere on this website, it says if this is like, if this came from the King James Bible or which version of it came from. And then mm-hmm. they went through and annotated, you know, what all these passages kind of mean and what they're talking about, you know, taking some of the spooky language out of it and translating it into, you know, a little... more of like just blunt English.
Yeah.
So in the Book of Numbers, Numbers 19, it talks about what's required to bless the Holy Temple. Like, so this is a thing that has to happen in order for the temple to be considered like, you know, the holiest of...
This third temple?
Right, right.
So God doing it wouldn't be enough.
God doing it is not enough. What you need...
That's presumptuous.
...is It says, the book of Numbers 2 says, and this is the quote from Skeptics Annotated Bible, "This is the ordinance of law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein no blemish," take two, "wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke." Okay, so you need a spotless red cow.
That's never been yoked.
That's never been yoked, right. So
like
it's got to be
a calf.
Yeah, it's got to be probably going to be fairly youngish.
Yeah.
Well, and then it continues. "And ye shall give her unto Eleazar, the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar, the priest, shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. So basically, oh, and then, "and one shall burn the heifer in his sight, her skin and her flesh and her blood, with her dung shall he burn."
This is actually in the Bible.
This is, yeah, this is from the Bible. These are quotes from the Bible. This is Numbers 19, 2 through 5. That's what
so
I just read.
When people get married, I have never heard Numbers quoted, and now I'm understanding why.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, a lot of people like to kind of pick and choose from the Bible. If you read the Bible, like, and straight up, and I'm sorry, like, I'm sorry if this is offending you. If you are a Christian, you're a literal Bible believer, I have a feeling you're probably not listening to the show. There's some straight up fucked up shit in the Bible.
I have read the whole Bible. I did a Bible reading app for a whole year. I read the Bible in a year.
So,
but sometimes I would skim it because it got so boring.
So you're familiar with the story.
I'm not remembering one bit of it.
Okay. So you need this spotless red cow.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to gloss over your reading of the Bible. That's amazing.
No, I don't even remember this story. So
was this when you were going to church?
Yeah. Yep.
Is this what stopped you from going to church? Reading the whole Bible?
I think it might have, because after that year, I didn't go anymore.
Well, and another time I'll talk about my favorite Bible story that I just absolutely adore. Or maybe should I do it now?
Yeah.
Should I talk about it now? There's a story, and I don't remember. This is literally off the top of my head.
And you adore it.
Well, I love it in an ironic way.
Okay.
There's a story in the Bible. I don't remember the book or the verse or any of that stuff, but the story goes, Jesus comes to this girl, like, you know, he and his disciples are wandering around, mm-hmm. spreading the word of God, and they're hungry, and they come to this grove of trees, right? And they're like, oh, damn, figs, right? Fig trees. Let's chow down on some figs, right? And they go up, and, well, it's not fig season, so the figs aren't ripe. And so he curses the fig trees, and the fig trees all, like turn black and die. And figs from that point forward are forbidden for Jesus' followers. So if you're a Christian, you're not supposed to eat figs. Because Jesus went to a fig tree when it wasn't fig season.
Is that true?
That's, you know what? I'll find it. I'll post the link.
Okay.
When we get the Facebook up and running, I'll post that link.
Yeah.
100%. And you can read the, you can read it word for word and draw your own conclusion.
Oh. I was trying to think of my favorite Bible story, but there's so many.
I mean, I'm not saying there aren't good moral lessons in there.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
don't kill your brother.
Yeah, you have one, Randy.
Yeah, and I won't kill him. It may or may not be because the Bible told me not to.
Do you talk to him a lot?
Yeah, we talk. I mean, not as often as we should, you know, because we're adults with lives and things. But
yeah,
you know, but we, you know.
Does he know you're doing this?
We have a good
new
relationship.
Podcast?
I have a feeling if he doesn't know, he's gonna.
Hmm.
That Brandy's just doing you right.
This is blowing my brains out.
So, now the spotless red heifer is a genetic anomaly. It's a very difficult thing to find, you know, like a spotless red cow. And we're talking like the rusty red, yeah. You know, not like barnyard red or fire engine red, you know.
Like a brown red.
Yeah, like a brownish red. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but finding one without any white spots, and they actually have, like, I mean, it goes on and talks about how, like, the number of white hairs on its body have got to be, like super few.
They just made this all up.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that.
Somebody just wrote this just to fuck with us. They're laughing all the way to the bank. Numbers.
Numbers. Dollar signs. So basically you have to find this genetic anomaly. Mm-hmm. You have to ritualistically slaughter it, burn it, and then use its ashes to, like, I don't know, like, magically bless the whatever.
Okay, so that's what has to happen for the third temple.
Right.
Okay.
So. Now, Reverend Clyde Lott of Mississippi had a great idea.
When was this?
This is in the 1990s.
Okay. 90s again.
Yeah, 90s again. But this doesn't have anything to do with the year 2000. Mm. You know, I'm not saying maybe the year 2000 had, like, something to do with him wanting to hasten the end of the world and, you know, bring Jesus back and all this stuff. So, but Clyde Lott and Rabbi Rickman were kind of working together. So you have a Christian and you have a Jew that are working together for the same goal, because they both have the same goal. They got to find the red heifer, they got to kill it, they got to burn it, and they got to bring back Jesus and crush all Muslims or whatever. What Clyde Lott says about the Muslims is basically that the Messiah will take care of it. Whatever that issue is, the Messiah will take care of it.
Mm.
You know, like, he's not saying go commit violent acts to get Muslim, you know, to remove the Muslims from the site. He's just saying, like, hey, you know what? The Messiah is going to sort all that stuff out for us.
Mm.
You know, so.
That's good.
Yeah. Because otherwise, I mean, literally, that's World War III.
Yeah.
You know? So, Clyde Lott decides, you know what we should do is we should basically, like, we should just breed our own red heifer. Like, we should just get behind this.
That's a great idea. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and actually, the other important part about this red heifer is it has to be born in Israel.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So
that's just.
So here's Reverend Lott's plan.
And where does Reverend Lott live?
Mississippi.
That's right. Yep. That's a long ways from Israel.
Right. So here's his plan, right? We breed these red heifers, right? And through the law of averages, one of them eventually will be perfectly red, right?
But then it has to be born in Israel.
It's got to be born in Israel. So here's what we do, right? We start breeding this herd. And this herd, you can look it up on the internet. It's called the Numbers 19 herd. It's a herd of cattle that were bred with this specific function, that they were going to be bred red. Well, with kind of two functions. You know, like, they're going to be bred red and then imported to Israel, which, you know, they were having problems with some of their livestock at this time. So it was kind of like, well, they need good, healthy cows, healthy breeding cows.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give them healthy breeding cows and they'll just be red. And, you know, if we get the right one, we'll, you know, destroy the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, everybody wins.
Right.
So, there's a couple of problems. Okay, there's a couple of problems that came. Okay, so it's about, you could pay about $1,000 You could donate to the Temple Institute, and that would pay for the transportation of one of these red cows from Mississippi to Israel.
For just they
could,
one?
They figured they could fit about 20 cows per plane, you know, like, so you could, you know, but I mean, it's a big thing to move a cow from Mississippi to,
yes,
to Israel,
yes,
you know? And so, but it's, I mean, what would it cost? What do you think the value of bringing the Messiah back or here, depending on which side of mm-hmm. your heritage you're more closely aligned with at the time?
I would guess like $2,700.
Okay. So you could buy
two and three quarters.
Yeah.
And you'd be golden.
Yeah. I mean, you're really hedging your bet.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So I'll give Clyde Lott your number and, you
Is
know.
Is he still alive? Oh, well, okay. Boy.
So, Clyde Lott and Chaim Rickman they contacted a breeder.
Who is this Chaim Rickman again?
He's the leader of the Temple Institute.
Oh, okay. That's yep. right.
So they find a breeder who's like, yeah, you know what? I'll breed the hell out of some red cows and get them to Israel and bring Jesus back and destroy the world.
Oh, you know, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so people start donating. This guy starts breeding. And a couple of problems. One is that Israel says, like, hey, wait a second, guys. You can't just import cows. Like, you can't import whole cows. You can't. We're not taking whole cows.
Like, before they even get one there, they say this?
Yeah. Well, like, you know, they try to get some through, like, customs. And they're just like cows have like diseases and shit that can like come from one continent to another and infect yeah. the cows in that continent.
Yeah.
And so they're like, no, we don't do that. We're not doing that here. Right. So
they should have looked into that.
That was problem one. Maybe they should have, they should have thought a little further ahead.
Chaim.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. Obvious.
Right. So the next idea that they came up with was, we'll send frozen embryos, right?
Okay.
It seems reasonable, like, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, the transportation costs are much lower. I mean, they're still collecting $1,000 per cow, but now we're talking like, you know, like frozen embryos. Mm-hmm. We'll get them over there and then they'll be born there, you know, and we'll raise the herd there. So the rancher who's breeding these cows and, you know, like kind of creating the whole thing, you know, starts saying like, hey, you guys are collecting this money. How about paying me? And, which was part of the arrangement, you know, like he was going to get paid for doing all this. And, Reverend Lott didn't have his money. And his explanation for where the rancher's money went was, Satan tied it up. Satan did. I don't know. Like, I don't know where your money is because Satan's got it.
Okay.
And that's basically the last contact that I could find for Clyde Lott. So far as I can tell, he just disappeared. Probably with a reasonable amount of money.
Really?
Yeah. Now, Chaim Rickman is still around. He still runs the Temple Institute.
He does? Is that who you were trying to get a quote from?
Yeah, my first thought was Clyde Lott, you know, but, like, I'm not capable of that level of detective work. Like, I mean, somebody knows where he is,
mm-hmm.
and somebody could find him. I'm not going to be the person who finds him.
So that's where it ended? How much money did he collect?
I'm not sure. I couldn't find that number either, you know, like, because basically all you have is a rancher who says he didn't get paid for doing this job, and a guy who says that Satan stole all his money, you know, and so I don't know, I mean.
And the embryos never made it.
That is unclear as well. I don't know what the status of the actual project was. What I do know is that a red heifer has not been born, and the end of the world is not quite imminent in that regard.
So this guy still runs the Temple Institute. The same guy.
Yeah. Chaim Rickman, I don't think was as involved with the finances of the breeding program.
Yeah.
That was Reverend Lott.
But, well, aren't you dying to talk to this guy?
Oh my God, that's the only thing I ever wanted to do.
So you can't reach the guy at the Temple Institute?
I haven't. Well, I reached out.
I bet he's got an email.
I reached out to him. I haven't got a response.
Your email say? Was it like appropriate?
Yeah, no, I was just like, I genuinely just want to talk to him, you know, and I just put it all out there like, hey, you know, like we're doing a show. I just want to talk about, the number 19 herd.
Just cried when he read that.
Yeah. Well, and I think leading with, you know, I'm from a show called Doomsday Murder Cult, probably is going to limit our access to certain people.
DMC.
Yeah. Maybe I should do, you know, like, but I don't want to mislead people.
Right.
You know, like I don't want to mislead them about what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
You know, cause I don't want to corner anybody. I don't want to pull like a, what was that asshole that used to like ambush interview people like on buses and shit? I don't want to do that to people.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Was it a legit one or funny?
Is that Breitbart? Andrew Breitbart?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't want to do that to people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to give me like a candid, sincere interview and just be like, you know, blindsided, like, oh, you're on a show called Doomsday Murder Cult. You're making me look like a fool. You know,
right.
it's like, no, I mean, I don't want to make anybody look like a fool. I'm after understanding. And I know we make jokes. This is a comedy show, I feel like, about a really dark subject. So we're going to make jokes about really dark things, you know, like, but I don't, it's not my intention to make anybody look like a fool. If you want, like if Chaim Rickman wants to come on the show and offer his viewpoint, like I am happy to have him here and I will take him absolutely as seriously as I can.
There is a spot over here.
There's a third chair, third microphone.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll come down to this basement and just be like, I have arrived.
We got Skype, motherfuckers.
Oh, that's right. We have Skype. He doesn't even have to come down here.
He doesn't even have to be in the murder dungeon and risk what
Let
comes
me reach
with
out
that.
To him.
You'll probably have better luck than me. Maybe show a little cleavage. I'm sure that'll get the rabbi.
Hi.
The holy man, the man of God.
Like, come on, man. Let's just share the land.
So, I guess that one kind of falls into your realm a little bit. I'm sorry, I don't mean to like steal your thunder.
That does like a little bit
like an unsolved thing.
Yeah,
you know.
So there's no record of this other guy.
I couldn't find anything. Like I searched like three different places.
And you tried Facebook.
I tried Facebook. I tried the white pages. I tried the yellow pages too. That was the third place.
Did you try Friendster?
He's probably on Friendster.
Do you remember Friendster?
Do you want any more of this brandy? Or do you want me to cash it?
Cash it. I got to get my Tennessee Fire in here. I have some out in the car. I don't want to open it, though.
Why is it out in the car and not in this goddamn basement?
It's a gift. It was going to be a gift.
For me. And I thank you for it.
Do you
very
like
much.
That stuff?
What is it?
It's cinnamon. It's Jack Daniel's cinnamon flavored whiskey.
I like it better than sobriety. That's not a thing that I should say on a show.
Now I'm just nervously looking at my notes.
Yeah, because now it's your turn. See, that is
it
delicious
is.
Brandy.
Mm. Oof, brandy, oh. Brandy's not my thing. I would like a Tom and Jerry.
It's got like a...
God, you're just drinking it straight up with no water chaser.
No,
why would I
water it down? It's delicious. It's got like E&J XO has this kind of like buttery flavor to it. It's almost like butterscotch. It's like butterscotch liquor.
Yeah, see, I don't get those notes at all from it.
You just get the acetone.
Yeah, like it just makes me cringe.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That is very good brandy. E&J, hit me up.
How are we doing time-wise?
We're good. We got plenty of time.
Okay. Plenty of time, meaning I should really drag it out?
Plenty of time, like...
Take your time.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. Okay, so last week I talked about Kathleen Thompson. She was murdered.
Right. We're going to see if these stories connect.
Yes.
So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, you're podcasting wrong, first of all.
You're podcasting wrong. Or, well, there's only one other episode to listen to, so just go listen to it.
Yeah.
This one's probably going to be a little bit better.
What the fuck do you have to do that's so fucking important you can't listen to one goddamn episode of Doomsday Murder Cult?
Right. Just, like, be in the car, be running, be doing your thing.
Do your laundry.
Do your laundry.
It's about damn time you do your laundry. Get your shit together.
Where's your washer and dryer?
It's upstairs in a room. You know where it is.
Oh, that's right.
You've been here before. You've lived here before.
That's right. Who used to do laundry when I lived here? Did I? I think I did.
No, I think we did our own separate laundry.
We did our own separate laundry. Well, so. that was a sign right there. That's relationships doomed.
No, I think that was more of like me trying to prove to you that I was actually a grown-up.
Yeah.
I can do my own laundry. You don't have to do my laundry for me.
I see. Okay.
And I'm not doing yours.
And I remember you used to wash the floor.
Yeah.
You used to be very serious about, well, it's very tidy up there. Did you do that on purpose?
What do you mean on purpose?
Your bathroom is really tidy.
It's getting better.
I like the sink.
The sink's nice. I kind of redid a lot of the bathroom recently.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little more... I noticed when we went up there earlier that I didn't close my shower curtain, and my shower surround is still a nightmare.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I did not notice.
That's the next phase in that project is retiling my shower.
Oh.
Listeners are fascinated by this, my home improvement schedule. So we definitely could skip your story and talk more about that. No, you do your thing.
We came down here
to do your thing. You do your thing.
I'll do my thing.
Yeah. Okay. If we have time, I'll talk more about my shower at the end of the show.
Do you tile it yourself?
That's the plan.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That sounds terrible.
I don't know if it's gonna happen. Like that's what I'm planning, but that's why it hasn't been done.
Right, because you have to do it.
And I don't like things like that.
No, I wouldn't either. So Kathleen Thompson, murdered in 2000, has nothing to do with your Doomsday stuff, but it was the year 2000.
Right.
And well, it was like in January or February.
Oh, I see, and this is where I have to make this joke, and it's like a really kind of a tasteless joke. But if you're a fan of this show so far, this is kind of what you're in for. So you say not related to Doomsday or not related to, you know, but it's 2000, and mm-hmm. I say it's like, well, it was the end of the world for some people.
That's pretty good. So here's another Eau Claire, Wisconsin, unsolved. This is considered an unsolved murder. This woman lived two doors down from me on Galloway Street.
When did you live on Galloway Street?
I lived there from 2000 till 2006.
Okay.
So for 6 years, I lived on Galloway Street.
All right.
So this woman, I did not know her, but she lived two doors down from me. Her name was...
you were not really a member of your neighborhood and community?
No. I was like a 20-year-old worthless POS.
Hey, I was one of those too.
Yeah. Where it was a shitty rental where I begrudgingly shoveled the sidewalk eventually and... well, you know how some places in Eau Claire are where the house is way high up and then the yard is not really a yard because it's just a diagonal down to doom.
Right.
So like mowing, that was really bad. So I was not outside very much because there was no yard and it was terrifying to mow it.
Yeah.
You know, when you just are mowing, like basically you're going down a hill with the mower and you're like, oh my God. I might fall over the edge of the stones at the bottom and die.
I mean, it's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, that's not what happened to Angelina Wall, but she had a slightly less sloped yard because she was a little further down the hill than I was.
Okay.
She actually lived right next to the local store.
Okay, I know that place. I know. I mean, I know the local store.
Yes.
And I also know the house you're talking about.
It's a white house.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's where she lived. She was 22 years old. And she was last seen near Birch Street in Eau Claire during...
Sort of surprised you guys didn't party.
Yeah.
Anyways. I mean, missed opportunity.
Thinking about
but
that.
Yeah.
She was only a few years older than me.
Yeah, like 2 years older at the time or whatever.
Oh, my God. But, I never... Okay, yeah. Blow my mind. She was last seen...
Not the first time, won't be the last.
Ooh. Okay. Now, stop that. She was last seen during the early morning hours of January 6th, 2001.
Okay.
She had finished her shift at McDonald's and was walking 4 miles to her home.
Okay.
That's how far she walked, okay, during the early morning hours. Now, that seems reasonable to me on a certain level. If you didn't have a car, and in Eau Claire, generally speaking, I can see where I would feel safer walking in Eau Claire now than I would in 2000. Eau Claire was
certainly
not so cool during 2000.
But also, there has been a span of time where Eau Claire, Wisconsin has been, and I have no idea what the organization is who makes this decision or whatever, but it has been consistently rated by somebody as one of America's safest cities.
Yes.
So somebody walking home alone 4 miles in the middle of the night, there's probably very few safer places to do it.
Right. And I did it.
Yeah. I mean, I did too, but I think that's probably less remarkable.
Yeah, because you're a guy.
Right.
Yeah.
A guy like 6 feet, 5 inches tall. Like,
are you really that tall?
Yeah. 6'4", 6'5", something like that.
Huh. So police later found her body dumped along County Highway J near Fall Creek, and she was strangled.
Okay.
So if we recall, Kathleen Thompson was found in the early morning hours, and she was also strangled.
Right.
So there were personal items found of hers in a snowbank at her last known location, which was where she was found dead. And they had zero leads. There were zero leads. And when I looked about this case online, there were people who thought maybe she was married. There seemed to be confusion about her personal life.
Okay.
So it wasn't clear if she was married or not, or if she was maybe challenged in some way. I don't know. She worked at McDonald's and was walking home. She didn't have a car. I don't know if it's because she couldn't drive a car or she just didn't have a car, because people can't afford cars all the time.
Right.
So that could be perfectly logical. So our fine police force, excuse me, couldn't figure shit out on this one. Okay. So then, I don't know if you remember this, but in January, 2 years ago, there was a box sent to the Eau Claire Police Department, and inside it was a handwritten message that said, in regards to the Angelina Wall case, inside it were several documents highlighting an individual's criminal and bankruptcy history. So somebody sent the police department a box of documents about a particular person, and they said that it was in regards to her case, which has remained unsolved, which is a complete mystery. I don't know. There's nothing online that I can find. I'm assuming they tested the DNA from her personal belongings. I don't know how there could be nothing. There's nothing.
Well, I mean, nothing that they're releasing.
That they're releasing.
You know.
There you go. I mean, yeah.
Which you could read into a number of different ways.
Yeah. So they get this box. And the chief of police says that there was no tie, quote, unless somebody explains why, it'll make it a little easier for us to assess the lead.
Isn't that kind of their job?
Right. Oh, she, okay, she, they think she was married 6 months prior to the murder.
Okay.
And she was partially undressed when she was found.
Okay.
And she used to bring suckers to work to hand out to kids. I just wrote that down as a random thing.
That seems perfectly normal.
Well, that's a little strange, actually, isn't it? To go through a McDonald's drive-thru and be like, well, you wouldn't know because you don't have kids. The banks, suckers are golden at banks.
Right.
It's not strange at all. But if somebody at McDonald's just had their own stash of suckers.
Here, I see you have some kids. Do you want a pocket sucker?
It's like, no, that's what got me into this mess. No, thanks.
We're good.
So.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That's the only. Yes, I think it is their job. If you have no idea who killed somebody and you get a box of documents about a particular person, and then they say, well, you need to explain why there would be a link. Otherwise, we don't know what the deal is. Well, if the link was obvious, maybe you would have already found out who it was.
Right. And that's why they're saying, like, hey, here's a clue.
Right. Like,
or,
hey.
I mean, but the thing is, I mean, they, you know, from kind of their perspective, I mean, that's not the only case that they have to deal with.
Right.
And, you know, so this box of documents shows up. And who's to say it's not somebody fucking with them?
Right. But it's like, oh, who's this guy? Let's take a look at this guy. Where was he living in Eau Claire at that time? You could take a day.
I mean, maybe they did. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. They don't necessarily need to tell us that they did that.
Right.
You know, so that's the disadvantage that we have on both sides is we don't know what the killer was thinking and doing, and we also don't know what the cops are thinking and doing.
Yeah.
You know, so it sort of seems like they're not doing anything.
Well, and if she was married for 6 months, they must have checked her husband out.
You'd think.
And that must have been a no-go. That's always the obvious first place to look.
Right.
So there were people online saying, okay, Evan Zimmerman is exonerated from the charges.
Right.
With Kathleen Thompson. And I think that's probably correct. At the very least, they didn't have enough evidence to prosecute that guy.
Right.
So you've got a woman found strangled. And you've got this other woman a year later, less than a year later, strangled. And they're thinking, is there a link between those two? And I don't know. There's been no other cases like that I know of.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, which could tell you a couple of things, I guess. You know, maybe these were two murders with a strong motive. I mean, you know, like the one on her wedding night, you know, if it was an ex.
Yeah.
You know, but they exonerated the ex, right? That was Zimmerman who.
Right. I mean, of course, that doesn't. There's a chance he could still be guilty. Well, he's dead now anyway.
Well, right.
But.
You know. But, you know, but maybe it was somebody else who was, you know, infatuated with her or whatever. And so she gets married and, you know, now, you know, that has some emotional things that somebody can't handle and strangles her, maybe. You know, yeah. I mean, that's something, I guess, that could happen. Could just be a random, could be like a serial killer. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's another possibility. And maybe the serial killer killed these two people in Eau Claire and then moved on.
Right.
And, you know, maybe they're in other areas. There are cases exactly like this that are unsolved.
Yeah.
You know? Or maybe he got caught somewhere.
Right.
You know? And then these are, you know, two that just were never linked to this person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's so many possibilities, and it's just amazing to think about.
So she's the, they have not, figured that out. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold for about 3 months now.
Yeah.
So it's good. I don't know why it bugs me, because I don't know if she was extraordinarily pretty, because I feel like...
I don't know if that necessarily even matters.
I think it would, though. If she had been very pretty or had a very compelling... Like, you know, when we did our test episode on Instance Your Bullshit, the first case I talked about was that beauty queen.
Right.
And I forget her name. I have to catch up on the episode so I can tell everybody what's going on, because the new season of the podcast is out. And I So Up and Vanished has a new season, and I just haven't been able to listen to it. But I forget her name right off the top of my head. But she was very pretty.
Right.
And so there was a lot of interest. I think I recall seeing a photo, and I'm not sure she wasn't a mother, so it wasn't tragic that way. She was probably low income, because the house she lived in was very low income. And she was working at a McDonald's walking home. So it's like maybe the media decided she wasn't important enough to care all that much about.
Right. But also, if we're talking about our local media, like murders don't happen here every day.
Right. So then why wouldn't this be big fucking news?
You'd think it would be, you know?
Yeah, or they just don't know how to handle it, because it never happens.
Maybe, you know, that's, I mean, that's a legit...
Were you living here in 2000?
Yeah, or I moved here right about then.
And you don't remember ever hearing about this?
Nope.
And this was like in 2001.
No, that was a long time ago. I've drank a lot of brandy since then.
Yeah, so that's mine. I don't know. What the hell?
That's a furnace right next to the recording room. I don't think it picks up on the mic. So it's just going to sound like you freaking out over nothing.
I mean, a few other times I feel myself going like, calm, but I didn't react vocally.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We're supposed to do A Ray of Sunshine.
Oh, I'll Google something really quick. Give me a topic.
Yeah, what's with that? What's
wrong? Don't worry about it. I'm just fidgeting with bullshit.
Yeah, but I like it.
Oh,
keep
okay.
It on there. But what is it?
It's just a twist tie that I'm wearing, like a ring on my pinky.
Yeah. Well, I one time had a guitar string engagement ring. So don't be ashamed of that.
I mean, this has no significance attached to it.
Oh, it's, it kind of looks cool. It looks like something that could become a hip thing.
I'm starting a trend.
Why don't you look up Smiling Clown Birthday?
And click on news?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
My friend Kristen, I need to hear your podcast. Give me the deets.
You do need to hear this podcast.
DMCpod.com.
Okay. Do you just want me to? I'm just going to grab the very first headline that came up on the Google News search for Smiling Clown Birthday.
Okay.
And this is from Quad City Online.
Quad City, so that's in Iowa.
Potentially. I see nothing to confirm or deny that. And it says, what a year, hyphen, a horrible, bizarre, confusing, messed up year.
Oh, this is going to have something to do with the clown thing.
It says, in the future, Americans, assuming there are any left, will look back at 2016 and remark, what the hell? They will have a point. This is the year, take two, this was the Al Yankovic years. If years were movies, 2016 would be Plan 9 from Outer Space. If years were relatives, 2016 would be the uncle who shows up at Thanksgiving dinner wearing his underpants on the outside.
Where's the clown? I suppose it's about these clown things that you remember?
Let's see here. This is, so this goes month by month.
It'd be about November.
It says October.
Oh.
Okay, it says, it has this whole thing, blah, blah, blah. The month ends on an upbeat note as Americans celebrate Halloween, a welcome escape from the relentless drumbeat of bad news, as evidenced by this FoxNews.com headline, which we swear we are not making up, quote, some Florida player, take two, some Florida parents plan to arm themselves while going trick-or-treating over clown concerns.
Yes. Okay, that's a good, so, that's a ray of sunshine.
Yeah. Wait, which part of that is a ray of sunshine? That 2016 is fucked up, that it's over.
The clown concerns.
People, clown concerns, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's all we had to worry about.
Oh, what an awesome world if, or what a horrifying world is if our biggest problem was clowns.
Right.
Like, that could be a terrifying world.
It could be.
Like murder clowns? Like, yeah. Like we'd have to arm ourselves against the clowns.
Well, John Wayne Gacy was a murder clown.
Was he a clown?
Yeah, he was a clown. I mean, he...
Did he kill as a clown? Or was he just...
I don't know if he killed
like
as a clown, but he was a professional clown for birthday parties and stuff.
That's super fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's super fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Did we just kill the ray of sunshine? I think we just killed the ray of sunshine.
We did. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we got time to try it again.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna search puppy
sweater
apocalypse. Puppy sweater apocalypse.
Yes. Because your dog upstairs is wearing a sweater.
Yeah, he is. How do I not know how to spell apocalypse? Don't worry, I got it.
It'll autocorrect.
Yeah, it's true enough. I got it right anyway.
You should know.
Oh, good. Here we go. A link to Amazon.
Oh, great.
You can buy X-Men Apocalypse dog costume puppy jackets. So you can...
Let me see what this looks
okay.
like.
There you go. It's like a little puppy jacket that you put on your little doggy.
Aww.
And it just has like the X-Men Apocalypse logo for the movie.
That's cute.
Which I've never seen. Do you go with your kids? Do you go see all the Marvel movies and
no,
stuff?
No, I haven't taken them to any movie actually because, well, they were born early. So they had this problem with loud noise. So then they didn't like movies because they're quite loud when you go to the theater.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so then we went to this special movie day where the sound was down and the lights were up. But then there was a large number of kids at that show with other kinds of problems who just screamed through the whole thing.
So kind of nullifying the effect of
yeah.
having the...
So I haven't gone to a movie with them, so they've never seen the X-Men.
And wait, whoa. Okay, let me back up just a second here. Let's pump the brakes a second.
Okay.
You told me mm-hmm. that you saw the new Star Wars movie, Rogue One.
Yeah.
You're saying that you went without your kids to a Star Wars movie?
Yeah. I had to first watch it to see how... Oh, I don't want to do a spoiler alert because it's a relatively new movie.
I haven't seen it yet. So.
Yeah, my kids are tender hearts. So if favorite characters die, it really
bums them out.
It bums them out. So the one that came out last year, I had to buy on video and then fast forward certain Han Solo parts.
What happened to Han Solo?
If you get my drift. So
You're not telling me Chewbacca dies.
No.
Okay.
I'm gonna first tell
right,
you
so I can watch it. Okay. Good.
I like Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
So I would be sad if he died. But I will tell you this about the movie. It was kind of a bummer, Rogue One. And I'll just advise you to not get attached to anybody too much.
Oh, man, that is totally the movie I want to see.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. You kidding me? Like, they're going to start, like, mowing down Star Wars characters? Yes. Fuck yes. I'm in.
Well, buckle up.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm going to go see it this weekend then. Do you want to go this weekend? Let's go this weekend.
I already saw it.
Well, I haven't seen it. You can experience it with me for the first time.
I might go with you. I have to make Lefsa. I'm going to a Lefsa making party on Sunday. Shut up. I am. And I'm having the French neighbors over to make, I forget what it is because I've had some alcohol.
Some French.
It's manicotti.
Oh, yeah.
Homemade.
Oh. Oh.
Like the pasta and everything. Yeah, I'm making it.
Damn.
Yeah, with some help. They're going to help me. It's like, logically, a French lady should help me make manicotti.
Well, right, yeah. Yeah, a French lady's going to help you make something patently Italian.
Right. Yeah. So, if I can find time, I will go to see this movie with you.
All right, well, we'll see. I won't count on it.
But I didn't love it, is the problem. So, I don't know if I want to see it again. But I did see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah, what'd you think of that?
I loved it.
Do you think that's something I would be into? How many main characters die?
None. Mm. No, I don't think you would like it at all. It's kind of magical and out there.
Is it part of the Harry Potter universe?
Well, it's like 70 years prior.
Okay, so it's like really like a Harry Potter prequel sort
of? Kind of. There's no mention of him at all, except for Hogwarts is mentioned.
Sure. It's. I mean, it takes place in the same.
Yeah. It's in the 20s.
Can I tell you how much Harry Potter I've experienced?
Yeah.
Zero. None. You know, no books, no movies.
I read all the books, saw none of the movies.
Were you required by your kids to read the books?
No, I read them when I was working at the Children's Museum.
Oh, of course you did. Yes, right. That makes perfect sense.
They had a lot of downtime there. When I wasn't busily pushing over old gingerbread houses that they kept up till March. Made a gingerbread house. It was there till March. And then one day we just had to accidentally make it fall over because it was like, this thing needs to go away.
Made it fall over with a sledgehammer?
Yeah, I just pushed it off the ledge.
Oh,
and then it broke
I see.
Everywhere. And then I was like, oh, darn, we got to get rid of this. I fell down.
You made a kid cry, didn't you? At least one. How many kids did you make cry when you worked at the
None when I worked there, but when I brought my kids there for the first couple of times. One time a boy shoved one of my boys when he was like 2, and this boy was like 8. And I grabbed him by the shoulders and I said, I can be your worst nightmare. And he like cried. It really happened because my ex-husband was like, oh my God, because I kind of start fights. I guess I start fights with other kids when I go places because they're so bad.
Right.
Like at the park, if they're throwing rocks down the slide and they keep hitting my kids who are like 2.
Right.
Like, what are you doing? So then I threw rocks back at them.
Well, what else are you supposed to do?
And then they cried and ran home.
Right. So everybody wins.
And so then my ex-husband was like, we need to leave because I'm sure their mom is coming like shortly.
So I believe in that moment. When you have that kid by the shoulders and you say to him, you're looking him in the eyes and you're like, listen up, little fuck.
Yeah.
I can be your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
I feel like you sincerely believed it and were thinking of, maybe not like materially thinking of ways to make it come true, but I think that that was not an entirely empty threat.
It was not. I looked him deep in the eyes and I said, I can be your worst nightmare. Right. Like, don't push 2-year-olds at the Children's Museum.
Well, what the fuck are you doing pushing 2? I mean, all right. I mean, I get like kids sometimes don't understand the boundaries and whatever, but if you're 8, you probably have some experience, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you should starting to learn those lessons.
And he was in the toddler park. He was breaking the rules. He was 8 years old in a 4-year-old park.
Well, I mean, maybe there's other problems happening there at home.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to try and make me feel bad about it. He probably still remembers that lady.
Yeah. That's probably a formative experience for him.
Yeah, he you might know? Be forever he's, changed.
Well, he's probably for the better.
So our second story was what?
Oh, the second story was the X-Men Apocalypse puppy dog costume jackets that you can buy on Amazon.
I can be okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, do we want to roll the dice? We have a little time if we want to roll the dice for number three.
Do one more.
Okay. All right. What are we going to search for?
Okay. Twist Tie Apocalypse.
I feel like we're getting off track of the positive thing.
Oh,
perhaps.
Right. Okay. Oh, shoot. Let's rewind that.
Okay.
Paul Bunyan Love.
This will be interesting. I'm not going to say I'm not on board with that. Paul Bunyan Love.
Did you take typing in high school?
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
Keyboarding? Yeah.
Yeah. I could tell.
Because I was looking at you while I was typing Paul Bunyan Love.
It was very good.
Interesting results. It comes up with the first result.
And news.
Oh, in news. Yeah, sorry. This changes things a little bit because I kind of want to go back to this one too. But in news. Paul Bunyan's statue needs some community love.
Is that from Eau Claire?
No, Oregon Live.
Oh, it needs some help. Is it looking pretty junky?
You read that in a different way than I did.
You're thinking like he needs...
He needs some...
Stroking.
Community love.
Because he's so big, the whole community has to get it done. It's going to take a village... To get that him like to get him off.
Everybody loves Paul Bunyan. You know what I mean? Everybody wants a turn with Paul Bunyan. So, this is in Portland, as a matter of fact. In the Portland Kenton neighborhood, which is a place I've never been. Apparently the big... Nope, that's not true. I've been here. I've seen this. I have my picture with this statue.
You do?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How did it look when you were there?
Rough.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, here, look at this. That statue. I have a statue of me, or a picture of me standing on the platform with that thing. So, my bad. Sorry, Kenton.
Aww.
I've been there. I've been to your place.
That's a good-looking one. That's way bigger than the one in Eau Claire.
Yeah, ours is... listen, if we're going to be competing with Portland, we got to step up our Paul Bunyan game.
Yeah, but we have a babe. So, there's no babe with that one.
Yeah, there's no babe with this one. He's just got his he's got his axe with like his hands covering his crotch.
We couldn't give him love even if we wanted to.
No, he's got his axe in the way.
Yeah. So what's the other story?
The other thing that it brought up, Paul Bunyan Love brought up, before I clicked on the news tab, under all, there is a group from the 1950s called Maddox Brothers and Rose, and they have a song called Paul Bunyan Love. The album is called Rhinestones and Rockabilly.
Oh, I suppose we can't play the song because of copyright.
Yeah,
problems.
I think we're going to play it off the air, and I bet you we're going to both fall in love with it.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so we still, are we going to do our sign-off that we did last time? Do you think you can do it?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Ready? Yeah, try again.
Okay.
There was a little burp.
I'm not helping out. This is all Jody.
That's as good as I got.